It was beautiful, Brian. It really was. Ralph, that's what we expect out of you. For those of you who didn't know, at our Christmas party Friday night, Ralph got the gift that had the envelope in it that said he'd get to sing a solo in the next 30 days. So he's pretty excited about that. You can see the joy on his face. Just mentioned it to this morning, he lit up. So I think it's great. You guys, we need to all make sure we say a special prayer today. Belim's going in to have the baby tomorrow, right? So, she's ready, I think. Turn in your Bibles, if you would, to the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 2. Continue our study. This book that Solomon wrote, supposedly the wisest man that ever lived. The scriptures tells us none was wiser, had ever been wiser to him, and none would ever be wiser after him. Ecclesiastes chapter 2. For those of you who missed the Christmas party, we had a great time Friday night. We had 110 people there, so it was quite a get-together. Good food, good fellowship. I won't say the gifts were good, but they were fun. Chapter 2, I said in mine heart, go to now, I will prove thee with mirth. Therefore enjoy pleasure, and behold, this also is vanity. I said of laughter, it is mad, and of mirth, what doth it? I sought in mine heart to give myself unto wine, yet acquainting mine heart with wisdom, and to lay hold on folly, till I might see what was that good for the sons of men, which they should do under the heaven all the days of their life. I made me great works, I builded me houses, I planted me vineyards. I made me gardens and orchards, and I planted trees in them of all kinds of fruits. I made me pools of water to water there with the wood that bringeth forth trees. I got me servants and maidens, and had servants born in my house. Also I had great possessions of great and small cattle, above all that were in Jerusalem before me. I gathered me also silver and gold, and the peculiar treasure of kings and of the provinces. I got me men singers and women singers, and the delights of the sons of men, as musical instruments, and that of all sorts. So I was great and increased more than all that were before me in Jerusalem. Also my wisdom remaineth with me. And whatsoever mine eyes desired, I kept not from them. I withheld not my heart from any joy, for my heart rejoices in all my labor, and this was my portion of all my labor. Then I looked on all the works that my hands had wrought, and on the labor that I had labored to do, and behold, all was vanity and vexation of spirit. And there was no profit under the sun. And I turned myself to behold wisdom and madness and folly. For what can the man do that cometh after the king, even that which hath been already done? Then I saw that wisdom excelleth folly, as far as light excelleth darkness. The wise man's eyes are in his head, but the fool walketh in darkness. And I myself perceived also that one event happeneth to them all. Then said I in my heart, as it happeneth to the fool, so it happeneth even to me. And why was I then more wise? Then I said in my heart that this is also vanity. For there is no remembrance of the wise more than of the fool forever. Seeing that which now is in the days to come and shall be forgotten. And how dieth the wise man as the fool? Therefore I hated life. Because the work that was wrought under the sun is grievous unto me, for all is vanity and vexation of spirit. Yea, I hated all my labor which I had taken under the sun, because I should leave it unto the man that should be after me. And who knoweth whether he shall be a wise man or a fool? Yet shall he have rule over all my labor, wherein I have labored, and wherein I have showed myself wise under the sun? This is also vanity. Therefore I went about to cause my heart to despair of all the labor which I took under the sun. For there is a man whose labor is in wisdom and in knowledge and in equity. Yet to a man that hath not labored therein shall he leave it for his portion. This also is vanity and a great evil. For what hath man of all his labor and of the vexation of his heart, wherein he hath labored under the sun? For all his days are sorrows, and his travail grief. Yea, his heart taketh not rest in the night. This is also vanity. There is nothing better for a man than that he should eat and drink, and that he should make his soul enjoy good in his labor. This also I saw, that it was from the hand of God. For who can eat, or who else can hasten hereunto more than I? For God giveth to a man that is good in his sight wisdom and knowledge and joy. But to the sinner he giveth travail to gather and to heap up, that he may give to him that is good before God. This also is vanity and vexation of spirit. Will you pray with me? Father, this morning, again, help us with your word, dear Lord. Fill us with the spirit of truth that we might understand. Lead us in the path of knowledge, Lord, that we might take this with us this morning, that we truly get a hold and understand a life that those who don't listen to the wisest man who ever lived are truly fools themselves. Help us, Father, that we might be willing to listen and learn from this man's experiences and mistakes, that we don't have to fall in that same direction that he fell. In thy name we pray. Amen. What a book this is. We started last week and we talked about the futility of life as a whole. This week, Solomon's lesson to us is the futility of pleasure and of material possession. And, you know, as I told you before, as we go through this book, understand this is a man who did everything. He told us in chapter 1, I have seen all things under the sun. This guy was quite a man. He was given the greatest gift that God could give a man when he asked for wisdom. And because he asked for wisdom, God gave him great riches and understanding and the ability to rule the people. You know, it's said that Solomon was so well taken care of that they would go up to Mount Hermon and they would bring down snow for him so that his drinks could be cooled off, as we have ice now. But that was unheard of in the culture in those days. But he decided he wanted cold drinks. So they would go up and bring snow down from Mount Hermon and bring it to his house and to cool his drinks. And naturally, there was no way to preserve that ice in those days. So it was a constant trip. Whatever Solomon wanted, Solomon got. He had more money than anybody in the world. He had it all. If you go to Megiddo now, they'll show you stables of his old stables where he had thousands of horses, even though it was commanded to the nation of Israel not to raise up horses. Wasn't supposed to do it. But Solomon, even though he was the wisest man who ever lived, made a lot of mistakes throughout his life. And towards the end of his life, then he wrote this book of Ecclesiastes to tell us, you know, I believe this book is in the Bible that you and I don't have to have the same mistakes Solomon did. Are any of us here ever going to be called the wisest person who ever lived? No, he's already lived. Are any of us going to have the riches that's Solomon had? No, we're not going to have it. Will we have the possessions? No. Any of you going to be king of Israel? I doubt it. But we don't have to make the mistakes that this man did. And what a book it is to tell us. Just verse by verse by verse, he says, I did this, it didn't work. Terms I want you to remember. I explained these to you last week, but hold on to the term vanity. When you see him use the word vanity, it means empty. There has nothing in it. When you see the term vexation of spirit, simply defined means chasing the wind. That's all it means, chasing the wind. When you see under the sun, it's talking about things that Solomon or men do apart from God, that men have done in their own experiments apart from God. So those three terms always hold on to as we're going through this book. Solomon starts out talking to us today about what most of us would like to have, is to be happy all the time. He tells us here in chapter 2, he says, I said in my heart, go to now, I will prove thee with mirth. Therefore enjoy pleasure, and behold, this is also vanity, or this is empty. You know, we spend a lot of time in our lives trying to accomplish happiness. It's an elusive quest unless you know the path to take. We laugh and we have fun. We had a lot of fun Friday night at the party. We did a lot of laughing. We had good fellowship because we were pursuing happiness as a body of believers, reflecting the glory of our God. But many times we head out in life, as Solomon did here, I said to myself, and I'm paraphrasing here, I'm going to go out and have a lot of fun. I'm going to fill myself with mirth and happiness. And oh, but I found out it is vanity. Now, you know, one of the things that I had to ask myself, and maybe you've asked yourself, if this was the wisest man who ever lived. Now, let's look at some of the things Solomon did wrong to try to understand him. This guy had 700 wives, 300 concubines or girlfriends available to him anytime. A total violation of the law. The guy raised horses. He built chariots. Total violation of the law. When he, in his middle years as he ruled Israel, he allowed his wives to pull him into worshiping other gods, and they would build altars up in, it's called in high places. It was, they would elevate the worship, place of worship. Solomon did about everything a man could do to turn around from his God. Yet, folks, you ever wondered, why did God leave his wisdom with him? Isn't that a strange thing that no matter how far he got with from God, that God never, in fact, if as you read through the book of Ecclesiastes, he'll mention over and over, but my wisdom is still with me or never left me. Why would God leave wisdom of this type to a man who abused it in the way he did? Because he used his wisdom. He used it to accumulate so much stuff. He used his wisdom to put others down and hold them under his control. I mean, put yourself in his place. If you're the wisest man in the world, no one is able to communicate at your level with you. There would be no one out there that could stand as your equal. You would have total mental superiority over everyone. But God chose to let him hold on to wisdom. Why would God do that? Well, if we went to Romans 11:29, it says, the gifts and callings of God are without repentance. And that's very important to us as New Testament Christians. You understand that? And that word repentance means that the gifts and calling of God are irrevocable. What a beautiful term, irrevocable. Cannot be canceled out by anyone and will not be taken back by the one who gave them. What a wonderful thing it is. Paul, writing in the 11th chapter of Romans, is talking to the nation of Israel saying, you know what? There was a lot of promises made to you down through the years. And these promises, you've fallen, you've made mistakes, but in the end, you're going to get everything God promised you because the gifts of God are irrevocable. It cannot be taken away. Now, that's awesome because that means no matter how stupid Solomon act, he could not throw back that gift that God had given him. Because if it's marked irrevocable, it cannot be changed by either party. It's an impossibility. And that's very important for you now because God has made us some promises that we spend our lives counting on. That we count that God will never take back the promises made to us. You know, in here today, if there's any one of you men that have ever been called into the ministry, did you know what? No matter how much you turned away from it, that you didn't lose the gift and the calling. Now, you may blow it to the point you're not worthy, which no one is, but maybe you've destroyed your ability to think and learn, but that calling and gift of God are irrevocable. It's a sad thing in that case, isn't it? That we've been given so much that we've turned our backs on by God, just like Solomon. In all of his wisdom, you know what it did for him? He allowed him to see how foolish he was in everything he did. The average person goes through their life fooling themselves, don't they? Making themselves believe that, well, this is okay. I do it, and we all do it. I get so tickled at people who think the rules in the Bible don't apply to them. They've been given the ability to learn, but they've always got an excuse why they're not doing what that scripture is. Guys, I'm going to say something very blunt this morning, okay? This life is not about you. This life is telling people who don't know Jesus Christ about Him. That's our commission. Should we enjoy this life? Absolutely. But when you're so caught up in you that all you think about is you and all you do is about you, folks, there's people going to hell Because Christians are so caught up in themselves. They're just like Solomon. They know better. And someday Almighty God is going to tell them, why did you waste this? Why did you waste it? Because the gifts and calling of God are irrevocable. They're not taken away. So God left Solomon with his wisdom. Why would he do that, folks? Because one is God never breaks his word. Two is God knew what he was going to do with it before he did it. And he still gave it to him. I think the more pertinent question would be, why did God give him the wisdom? Why in the first place when he knew he was going to abuse it? Because there's a whole lot of us here this morning and for thousands of years that this book can tell, stop what you're doing. Learn that these paths you're chasing are vain. They're empty. There's no end to them. Solomon goes on in verse 2, I said of laughter, it is mad. And of mirth, what does it? Solomon, oh folks, you ever been somewhere or been involved in something that was you just so full of laughter and you're almost to a point that's uncontrollable. You're so enjoying yourself. And all of a sudden, when it's over and you look back and you think of what prompted you to do it in the first place, you're saying, oh, it wasn't really fun to start with. It wasn't what I thought it was. The Bible teaches us that sin is fun for a season. Okay? There's no preacher in the world can tell you sinning's not fun. If they tell you that, they're lying to you. It's fun to do bad things because we are natural man living in a natural world that's run by a fellow named Satan. Sin is fun in this world, but it's only for a season of time was that fun last. That's what Solomon learned. I can pursue all of this laughter and pleasure. I can bring in anything I want, but it only lasts for a small period of time. Then I have to face reality. When I face reality, all is vain. You know, I'm not proud of the fact, but I can remember there were a few years in my life when I would go to the bars. And I can remember at 1:30 in the morning when they would do something called a last call, how the depression set in to every person in that bar. You could see it on their faces. Because it was the last opportunity to have fun before they had to go face reality. Folks, there's a day coming when it's going to be last call here on earth. You know that? There's a day coming when every person will face God Almighty. It will be a last call and the depression will set in on us. Just as it did on Solomon. Verse 3, I sought in my heart to give myself unto wine, yet acquainting my heart with wisdom and to lay hold on folly. Folly, what a word. Foolish things. That's all folly means. To hold on and do foolish things. You know, we're approaching a time of year when the suicide rate in the next couple of weeks here in our nation, or the world actually, will go way high. Because people can't face the holiday season because they have no happiness to hold on to. They don't know what Christmas is about. It's a time that supposedly we go spend with our families or our loved ones and we get together. And you have those people out there who have nothing to hold on to. And so the suicide rate starts to climb. And you would think that that would be the folks out there that are laying in the alleys that have nothing, that have no home to go to. Do you know where the suicide rate climbs the highest? Is in the wealthy, in your movie stars, your actors. And those who have a lot of money, the depression sets in because they realize it's all in vanity. That all the pleasure and joy they had chased after all their life was, as Solomon calls it, vexation of spirit or chasing the wind. And you hear of it. Every day we hear of it. It gets worse this time of year. But doesn't it amaze you when you read or see on TV someone who's got everything as far as man judges everything and they take their own life? What a sad thing that is that we can't find happiness in this world. That's what Solomon's saying here. When I chased laughter and mirth, I found out you can't find it. Not under the sun. You know what the great thing about being a Christian is, folks? there's only one group of people in the whole world who have joy, and that's Christians. Do you know the world can get happy? It can have high moments. They can have fun. But you know what? Joy can only come to those who knew Jesus Christ, their Lord and Savior, because joy encompasses everything and eternity. And I'm filled with joy to know that I'm going to heaven. That when I die, this junk I've chased in this world means nothing compared to what I'll have. How exciting it is to know that I have joy. I may run into people who have twice as much as I have. They may spend their lives chasing around the world, pursuing good times. But oh, they can never know the joy that's in my heart until they know my Savior. It's an impossibility. I have joy. And if you're a Christian and you don't have joy, then you need to find out what's wrong between you and God. He's trying to tell you something. Turn your Bibles to 1 John. Book of 1 John. We're going to be reading chapter 1, verses 1 through 10. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. Verse 4. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. What is John saying here? He's saying what Solomon took all of his life to learn. That fellowship with God is what brings joy to life. John's saying here, I'm going to write a whole book of the Bible to you folks out there that read this for the next few hundred years. And I want you to understand something. I'm writing this to you so you understand. You can't find joy in money. You can't find joy in material possessions. You can only find joy in a fellowship with God. Now, what is fellowship? Let's talk about that just a second before we go back to Ecclesiastes. Fellowship is a bonding, an exchange. Bob brought up in children's church, when you pray, I'm going to say it a little harder than he does, when you pray, shut up and listen. You have an exchange with God. That's a fellowship. Our party Friday night, we have fellowship together. We had interaction together. God wants to interact with us. And John says, there's no joy except with interaction with God. I'm writing this, John says, so that your joy may be full. What does full mean? Complete. So what is he bringing home to us here? If you want complete joy, then you have fellowship with God. You can have sporadic moments of joy, but if you want the fullness of joy, then it's fellowship with God. What a strong verse. But John goes on there. He jumps on down in verse 5. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is, remember this, no darkness at all. Verse 6, if we say that we have fellowship with him and we walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Do you understand what John's saying here? And it ties right into what Solomon was trying to tell us in that book. Is that if we walk in sin and claim we're in fellowship with God, we're liars. That if our life is controlled by the passion of this life, we don't have fellowship with God. Now, I've had people get mad at me about this passage. And folks, I promise you, I'm old, but I ain't old enough to have written this. It's not my words here. John wrote it. Fact of the matter is, when you get off in a path of darkness like Solomon did, that's why it says under the sun, all these things he did, he was out of his fellowship with God. He lost his joy. John says when you get into sin, you're not got fellowship with God. Folks, the sinner's repentance is the first prayer God listens to after they start sinning. You have sinners that spend so much time begging for forgiveness, but they're not willing to let go of the darkness. And until they let go of the darkness, John says we're liars if we claim we're in fellowship with God. In verse 7 he says, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, talking about God, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ his Son cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we fool ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us from our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar. In other words, we try to make God a liar. And his word is not in us. Before we go back to Solomon, the reason I took you to John's, I want you to understand something. There's options in life. There's the option to have fun with a lot of depression, or there's the option to be filled with joy. That's the two options that are offered. And it's your choice, whichever one you take. It's nobody else can decide that for you. I don't care what your childhood was. I don't care what your future is. I don't care what the environment is that you exist in. You choose whether to have fellowship with God or not. It's your decision. And folks, I'm not taking away from anyone who suffered in their lives. Please don't think that. What I'm saying is that ultimately relationship with God comes down to a personal decision. Do I want a relationship with God, or do I want to spend my life looking at those things I've done and saying how stupid I was and they gained me nothing? Do I want to make a decision today that, God, you know what? If this wise fella couldn't do it right, why am I so arrogant to think I can? God, I want you to take control and guide me. It's not easy to acknowledge someone was smarter than us. Folks, Solomon was smarter than all of us collectively. His wisdom was beyond comprehension. And he says, there is nothing in life worth having but a relationship with God. Solomon says, I've chased laughter and mirth. I've done folly or foolish things. I've gotten caught up in what I could do. He talks about bringing in musical instruments and singers. Can you imagine sitting in your palace and snapping your fingers and a Las Vegas show just appears before you? That's what Solomon had the power to do. He had control over everything around him. Yet when the show left and Solomon had to go to bed, there was nothing left behind from the show except emptiness. Emptiness. That's all he had left. The futility of pleasure was what Solomon's trying to tell us. Now, is Solomon or John trying to tell us you can't enjoy life? No. And on the extreme other hand, there's Christians who spend their whole lives thinking it's a sin to smile. That is totally ridiculous. I grew up in the days when many churches you walked in and the men automatically wiped every smile off their face. Oh, they were as stern as could be because that was the godly way to do it. I don't find that in the Bible anywhere. I enjoy being saved. You know that? I think it's fun. Because when all these people get down on me, I can say, do it. That's all right. It won't last long. I'm going home. You only get me so much. If all the bullies jump on you, so what? Folks, it's fun to be a Christian. You can't have more fun anywhere than with a bunch of Christians. Now, you may define fun another way and not understand their fun. See, our fun comes from doing the right thing. And it's okay to smile about it. It's okay to have a joke in church. It's even okay that when you come in the doors back there, you don't have a black suit on. That's okay. You women, you don't have to wear a veil. That's okay. It's okay to enjoy your God. They're not saying there's no fun in life. What Solomon is saying is your fun must be related to your walk with the Lord. He must take you to your walk. Now, like I said, over 100 of us gathered together Friday night, and we had fun. I'm sure there were bars here in town where there was over 100 people gathered that were laughing and having a great time. But folks, they didn't have any more fun than we did. I've told you before, I don't have to drink and do drugs. I get the same feeling by getting up too fast. It's all right there, right there for you. We can have fun. We can have a lot of fun. And we can, but Solomon's saying, don't get wrapped up in chasing the fun. Let the fun come to you. And how does it come to you? The Lord gives it to you. He hands it to you and says, here, I love you. Do you think God would not want you to enjoy the life He's given you? He's a father. He loves His children. But Solomon's trying to tell us, folks, when you're so caught up in the pursuit of pleasure, which verse is there? He's talking about the musical instruments. He says, let me just read it to you. I've lost it. Let me go to the right chapter. I'll probably do much better. Well, verse 10, and whatsoever mine eyes desired, I kept not from them. I withheld not my heart from any joy, for my heart rejoiced in all my labor, and this was my portion of my labor. Verse 10, and whatsoever mine eyes desired, I kept not from them. Can you imagine that? You imagine going to the mall in Albuquerque, and you walk through the mall and you know you can buy anything or everything in that mall. What a feeling that would be, wouldn't it? You just have that debit card just flashing, store to store to store, or your checkbook out. You would have the ability. Solomon's saying, anything I saw I wanted, I got it. It was mine. I took it. It was given to me. I purchased it. I was the king. I was the government. I was the ruler. I could have anything I wanted. That was what my labor was all about here in the world. In verse 8, he says, I gathered to me also silver and gold and the peculiar treasures of kings and of the provinces. I got me men singers and women singers and the delights of the sons of men as musical instruments and that of all sorts. Folks, in the Hebrew, and that of all sorts simply means I had all the sexual pleasure I wanted. That's what it translates to if you go back. Solomon's saying, there's nothing eluded me. I had it all. Yet what did it get me? All is vain. All is vexation of spirit. Let's drop down a minute to verse 12. And I turned myself to behold wisdom and madness and folly. Now, what is Solomon saying here? He's saying that wisdom and madness run pretty close together. Okay? In fact, if you read Solomon's writings, you'll see that he hints at the fact, I almost went crazy. I almost went over the edge. I knew so much. See, you can't imagine, I can't imagine what it would be like not to be able to fool myself. Solomon couldn't fool himself. He could stand above and watch everything that was going on in his own life and see how empty it was. What a horrible thing that would be. Solomon's saying madness and wisdom walk side by side. For what can the man do that cometh after the king, even that which has already been done? What can anybody have, Solomon's saying in 12, that comes as the next king that I don't already have? There is nothing more to acquire. There is no more possessions to have. There is no more experience to have. What can there be? 13, then I saw that wisdom excelleth folly as far as light excelleth darkness. Now listen to 14, 15, and 16 close. The wise man's eyes are in his head, but the fool walketh in darkness. And I myself perceived also that one event happens to them all. One event happens to them all. Guess what that event is? They all die. They all die. 15. Then said I in my heart, as it happens to the fool, so it happens even to me. And why was I then more wise? Then I said in my heart that this also is vanity. For there is no remembrance of the wise more than of the fool. Seeing that which now is and the days to come shall all be forgotten, And how dieth the wise man? As the fool. Isn't that stout? No matter what you have, how much you know, what you're doing, you know what? When you die, it's no different to than the death is to anyone else. When we die, it's gone. Solomon's saying, I have acquired everything. Why did I pursue wisdom? My wisdom won't remain behind. I should have spent my time pursuing my relationship with my Father in heaven. I should have spent my life getting closer to God instead of bouncing around in and out of a relationship with Him. I should have spent my time finding out what it was God had to give me. Do you think there wasn't a time in Solomon's life that he would not have traded everything he had for a moment of peace? Do you think he wouldn't have liked to have found the joy that he saw out in some poor shepherd who walked with God each day? Do you think he wouldn't have traded all the pleasures that he experienced for just the happiness of a moment with God sitting and talking to him? All of it was vanity. All of it was chasing the wind. Verse 17, therefore I hated life because the work that is wrought under the sun is grievous unto me, for all is vanity and vexation of spirit. Yea, I hated all my labor which I had taken under the sun, because I should leave it unto the man that shall be after me. What an experience. Solomon's saying, I'm not going to be king forever. Everything I've done, somebody else is going to get. Somebody else is going to get. In fact, if you study in 1 Kings, I believe around chapter 12, Solomon's son was a real idiot. He caused the division of the nations. He split the nation of Israel. It wasn't united again. So Solomon's saying, I'm going to work myself to death. I'm going to experience all these things. I have all this stuff and I'm going to die. And you know what? A couple of days after I die, somebody else is going to walk in the palace, put on my robe and my crown, and all I've done will mean nothing. Now, I think Solomon would also said, as we'll see in 24 through 26, that if I had only spent my life pursuing God, the one who walked in the palace would have found a legacy. The one who walked in the palace would have found out what a good ruler and man of God was. Remember, Solomon started this book out calling himself the preacher. He calls himself the proclaimer of God's word. He is proclaiming here that I hated my life under the sun because I'm going to leave it to someone else. 19, and who knoweth whether he shall be a wise man or a fool? Pretty stout statement. Now understand something. This guy's got 700 wives, so he's not talking about a specific child here, okay? We don't know how many children Solomon had. But one of them did take the throne. Solomon's simply saying, I don't even know half my kids. What a sad place to be, wouldn't it? And folks, there's men in this world walking around now that don't know their kids. That's a sad, sad state of affairs. 20. Therefore, I went about to cause my heart to despair of all the labor which I took under the sun. For there is a man whose labor is in wisdom and in knowledge and in equity, yet to a man that hath not labored therein shall he leave it for his portion. This also is vanity and a great evil. 21 is saying there are people who do the right thing. Look for wisdom and knowledge and relationship with God, and they leave behind a legacy for their children and their families. But those who pursue the worldly things leave nothing behind. It's all empty and great evil. For what hath man of all his labor and of the vexation of his heart wherein he hath labored under the sun? For all his days are sorrows, and his travail grief. Yea, his heart resteth not in the night. This is also vanity. Folks, there are so many people in our world who are going to work, work, work. And the day they have to walk away from that work, they'll have nothing. They'll have sadness. Because life has been the pursuit of pleasure and material possessions. They won't know how to live. I've known so many people in my life work for a man that had a lot I mean a lot, and he could not retire. Could not give it up. Could not stop. He could not make enough money. He couldn't stand the thought that his earnings would stop, even though he had millions of dollars in the bank. He had no peace. As Solomon said, his heart taketh not rest in the night. This is vanity. Now, 24 is pretty good stuff. There is nothing better for a man that he should eat and drink, and that he should make his soul enjoy good in his labor. This also I saw that it was from the hand of God. An honest day's work brings much great joy in the evening. You know that? An honest day's work brings great joy. When you sit down, I don't care if you're having a steak or you're having potatoes because you have no meat. If you labored for it, there's great rest in what you had at the end of the day. Every one of you out here are different, on a different position financially. But at the end of the day, if what you did was within God's will, each of you sits down to dinner with happiness in their heart. No matter what you have, if you spent the day in God's will. 25, who can eat or who else can hasten hereunto more than I? Solomon's saying, there's nobody can have more food than me. I can have anything I want. I send up to the mountain, get me a glass of ice and have some ice water. I have it all. 26, for God giveth to a man that is good in his sight, wisdom and knowledge and what? Joy. But to the sinner he giveth travail to gather and to heap up, that he may give to him that is good before God. Solomon's saying here, folks, to the man who pursues him, God will give him knowledge and wisdom and joy. But to those who are pursuing life as Solomon had, God gives great travail or great sadness or turmoil that builds up and up and up and up. Folks, we have a man here who was so wise he almost went nuts because he abused that gift God gave him. And what a lesson he can give us here today in this simple chapter, that there's no purpose in life other than pursuing God. If you're pursuing God, you know what? You're going to have joy, going to have happiness. And God even tells us we'll have everything we need if we pursue Him. You may not have everything you want. Not going to happen, folks. The days will pass in your life when you have your greatest earning potential. That time of your life when you can jump in there and build up and build up and build up. And one of these days you'll wake up and you'll stop and you'll say, you know what? I can't do that anymore. What am I going to do? If your life's wrapped up in the pursuit of pleasure and material things. But to the Christian who follows the Lord, they simply say, I'm at a different point in my life. My fellowship with God is still wonderful. The joy of being with my Savior in heaven is what sustains me and keeps me going. You don't have to have a lot to be happy, because God takes care of His children, folks. Don't you younger folks in here, they don't get caught up in the traps this world lays in front of you. Some of us older ones here could tell you it don't pay off. One of these days you get up and your back hurts, your head hurts. Folks, you know what the most powerful expression in the English language is? If you don't believe me, listen when everybody gets up in a minute. You'll hear it, all over this church. Most powerful expression is because we're getting old and it hurts to get up. So we throw out a word there, so I don't know I do it. I don't figure out how it helps me get up, but I get up easier when I. We get old. It all passes away. It's all silliness. It's foolishness. And what do we have left? Nothing unless we have a relationship with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Please stand. What number are we singing, brother? 385. We're going to be singing number 385 here in a moment. Folks, if your life has been wrapped around pleasures and material things, then I challenge you this morning. Let it go. You know what? There's always going to be somebody that has more than you do. Always. You can chase till you die, and you'll never get it all. So why waste your life not enjoying what you have? Let this wise man of Scripture tell you, stop what you're doing. Enjoy what God gives, not what you can take. Bow your heads, close your eyes. Father, this morning we ask, Lord, that you move on our hearts. If we're caught up in this world, Lord, free us from that. Give us the joy that being a Christian is, and restore to us that innocent relationship that we had with you, Lord, that maybe we've pushed aside in our pursuit of pleasure. Lord, if there's any here this morning that does not know you, God, I pray with all my heart that you convict them so deeply, dear Lord, so deeply to understand that they can have a fullness of joy by just turning their lives over to you, by being willing to let go of this old life and turn to that new life you offer. Lord, the world calls us silly. Oh, Father, someday we'll sit in heaven with you and we won't be the fools. Forgive us of our sins this day, dear Lord. In thy name we pray. Amen.